Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Happy Father's Day. I think it's very important that we take a time out, just as we did for Mother's Day, to set out a special time to talk about fathers. And more so manhood than fathers. I mean, the only example, the best and the greatest example to ever exemplify being a father is developing a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, and exemplifying that and looking at how he relates everything to his Father, and then embodying that same characteristics as your own. I would like to welcome you to both the USWAT radio program and the Spirit Straight Talk program. This is the same airing for both radio programs, and our sister station, Spirit Straight Talk, is a great radio program that I would encourage you to listen to. And tonight, the same message is going to be going on, maybe at different times, but it's going to be the same message, and that is Straight Talk for Men. I'm delighted to be here and be able to share with you concerning the truths concerning God's Word. And I trust that if you listen to the things tonight, especially pertaining to men of God, I believe that it will enhance your personal relationship with God, and you will see a greater quality of men raise up in the body of Christ. So let's not delay. Oh, well, let me do something. If you're listening to the Spirit Straight Talk by Internet, and we're on live at the time that you're calling, you can always call 646-716-9802. And for all of my radio listeners who are listening live, if you're on the Internet, you always know that you can call 646-595-4877. But for those who are listening on Spirit Straight Talk, you can call 646-716-9802. And then those who are listening to USWAT Radio, you can call 646-595-4877 and listen by phone. And I would encourage you to pass out each of those numbers for the an evangelism tool, especially for people who believe that they're called in the ministry. It's a great program to get equipped in the Word of God on both sides. I mean, Saturdays with Selena Olivia on Straight Talk Radio, Spirit Straight Talk is going to be outstanding. You won't want to miss it. She comes on twice a month, and now she's adding some more programs on there so that way you can listen to the Dominion Academy. And I'm telling you, the teaching that she teaches is loaded with practical application and general theology to help you establish your Christian walk. And I would highly recommend you take her classes. I take her classes myself, and they're good. And I'm establishing the faith, but they're good for me. So it's good to stir up your remembrance. Now we're bringing it to you on the radio as well so that you can have the same benefit that general communities have at our local live meetings, but it's nothing like the real thing. So every once in a while, you may want to come the last two Wednesdays of each month and eventually the last two Thursdays of each month so that way you can be a part of the Rhema groups. We're believing God to open up our Maryland location, and we're going to have it on Thursday night, and I think it'll be a great opportunity for you to be able to study the Word with other precious believers without sense like you got to take an offering or things like that, or like you have to sing a song. It's just straight word study and getting questions and answers answered by the help of the Holy Spirit in our setting. So we have a wonderful setting, and I guarantee you if you come, you're going to be so blessed, because we'll have you out quicker than you would go to a movie. We'll have you out almost quicker than you go to a fast food restaurant. Be about 45 minutes, I guess a little slower than a fast food restaurant, but when you're going to eat in sometimes, it'll take about 25, 30 minutes. Well, our classes are 45-minute classes each, and there's one at 8 o'clock and there's one at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is for the primary believers, 8 o'clock is for those who are advanced, who want to excel in their giftings, and it's an accelerated course that I would encourage all believers who have a depth in God's word to go to get refreshed and to get trained at their comprehension level. And we have a variety of settings for that very reason. And eventually we're going to have both classes going on simultaneously, and I'm looking forward to that. Well, tonight there's several scriptures that I want you to keep reference of, and I'll go to scriptures as the Lord directs me to go. But I have a straightforward message for the men of the body of Christ and for men at large. Amen. So please pay attention. But let me read out these scriptures so you can know where I'm going. And I'll read them out as succinct as possible. Matthew 4:4, Matthew 28:18, John 5:24, John 8:31, Psalms 107:20, Joshua 1:8, Ephesians 1:19-23, Ephesians 2:3-5, Ephesians 3:20, 1 Corinthians 1:30, 1 Corinthians 3:9, 2 Corinthians 9:8, 2 Corinthians 4:16, Colossians 2:16, Colossians 3:1-10, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Hebrews 4:12, and Hebrews 11:3. Amen. And I have some other ones too on here that we'll get to, but I think we'll be referring to all of the scripture. Amen. And so I want to make sure that you know where this particular teaching is going. Straight talk for men. 5 things to keep you as a straight man. Father, we thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. I lean on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide tonight to speak and anoint my vocal cords, that I might give clear articulation of speech and deliberation of theological construct as I make known boldly the mysteries of the glorious gospel of Christ as I ought to today. I thank you in advance that, Father, you will have your way and that you will do what only you could do and say what you would only say. And you alone, Father, will be glorified for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Straight talk for men. 5 things to keep you as a straight man. Now, ultimately, there's only one thing that can keep you as a straight man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Never want to take away from his significance and his impact. But these are 5 components that apply to you, exemplifying a true, real, straight man. And with this being said, I am going to put a plug in about homosexuals. We have too many homosexual men in the church. We have too many homosexual men in the world prevailing and affecting Christian affairs and Christian conduct. It's a sad reality to see young men grow up fatherless, grow up without the knowledge of who they are in Christ, and ultimately grow up without experiencing the life that God had intended for them to live and had predestined them for. There is an ability to correct the states of affairs, to straighten men. And that straightened man can be produced only when they go the way that God has designed, because the way is straight. It's not crooked at all. God doesn't work against himself. And it's time for real men to talk to you as a man and stop cowering down out of fear of being accepted in the popular sect of society. And just because a man doesn't tolerate homosexuality doesn't mean that they are out with the times, if you will, or hanging on to an old wagon, or just out of couth or in touch with society. You're not supposed to be moved by what you see anyway. You're supposed to be moved by the Word of God. And if men would stand up and take a role of being the men that God has ordained them to be, we would see a stronger society in today's world. Often, men are suppressed through various methods, mainly themselves, to really exist in the realm and the strength of power that God has ordained for a man to exist in. And it is further emphasized because of many men have been raised by women who have neglected the responsibility, not necessarily through their own neglect, but fathers, really, men have neglected more so, and men have incubated that, women have incubated that neglect for men to develop properly. Not all men, and contrary to popular belief, a woman can never grow a man to be a man. And I know people don't like me to say that, but it's the truth. Because they're not designed to be the role of a man. They're designed to be a woman. Now, does God look on gender? No. By God's mean, no. Because God sees us as who we really are. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. But for the sake of this being Father's Day, and for the sake of this being a straight talk for men, I'm going to talk straight to men. And if women, I pray that you are not offended by me speaking straight to men. Because one of the things, in order to speak straight to men, is you have to restore the role and the responsibility and the rights for that man to be a man. Just like the role of a woman needs to be restored to the right standing of who she is as a woman, and her rights need to be restored as a woman. However, this lesson is for men, so I need to talk to men just as strong as I would talk to the women. And so I want that to be very clear. Because often you'll say, oh, that's a chauvinist. No, that's not a chauvinist. This is a man talking to men who need to raise up and be men and not depend on women to teach them how to be a man, but go to whom God has established, which was himself, to raise them as men. God is our example. And if you look on another man to try to learn how to be who you are, you're going to exemplify someone that you were not ordained or even told to exemplify. You need to learn in God's word who you are, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But homosexuality is at the forefront, and they're perverting the plan of God. And that's what makes it an issue that needs to be addressed. God does not accept the life of a homosexual. And I know people say, well, God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. I understand that, and I agree with that. But it's more to that than just creating a rhyme to insult gay. I'm not a gay basher, but I'm telling you the truth. It's not something that you were born with. You were taught it. You were introduced to it. You were manipulated by someone exercising improper rights over you. You were offended, but let me tell you something. You were not born that way. It is not genetically enhanced. It is not emotionally enhanced. It is a spirit that has attached your right to exist in the fashion and the function which God has ordained you. And the same thing for women. There's a big cry in of lesbianism, and I don't care if you put on fruit of the looms and wear male clothes and wear tank tops and wrap your breasts so that way your chest will deflate. I don't care how many. If you are a woman, you are a woman, and if you are a man, you are a man. No matter how you try to parade, you're just living a lie, and you're living out of someone else's identity that was introduced to you by the works of the devil, and you've been caught by the devil's trap. But there is hope, and there is freedom. Am I telling you to put on a dress? And am I telling you to put on stockings? No. But I am telling you that you parading and acting like you are a man, hooking up with a woman, trying to and strapping on things to try to connect like a man is a lie. And the fact that you are willing to live a lie shows how powerful that lie is on your life. And only the word of God can change you and restore your role. And the same with men. Men are going into men doing things, all kinds of things that are not correct. And the reason why it's not correct is because it's not being designed or going by the design in which God had constructed. And Scripture confirms that this was going to happen and that it is happening. So we need to stop acting cute and stop accepting people because we feel like we are outnumbered by these personalities, and stand up for the final authority of God's word and not compromise on these values. Are gay people going to hell? Yes, you're going to hell. I'm going to tell you outright, because you're going against the way God had designed, and God did not accept people who would defile their own temple. Don't you know your body is the temple of God? The scripture says, honor God with your body. So if you ask me, if you come to Lamar Breland and ask me if you're going to hell because you're gay, I'm going to tell you, yes, you're going straight to hell if you don't get right. I'm sick of church playing around with issues like this, and we need to set this record straight. So on this Father's Day recording and on this method, I want to let you know that homosexuality is not of God. Homosexuality is a ploy to live out a perpetrated life, to live out a lie. And if you exemplify that lifestyle, prepare to make your bed in hell. But if you want to change, seek God, go back to the Creator and find out where you got off track. And when you've identified yourself based on your sexuality versus of who you really are, and you're more than the instrument that you use to defile your body. You're more than that. You are a spirit that has a body, that has a soul, and that soul has been distorted, and that body has embraced it, and it needs to be set free. And the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is present to quicken your mortal body, to set you astray and to make you straight and to make you righteous and live out a purpose that exemplifies the nature of God. If you say, I'm preaching today, I'm preaching today, because I want you to understand that there's a standard that's being raised today, that God doesn't accept homosexuals, that God doesn't accept this lifestyle that is contrary to his design in which he fashioned. And no, I don't care if you put a ring on it. I don't care if you redefine sexuality. Two men can't have sex, because the word sex was derived from intercourse between opposite sex, a male and a female. If an animal won't even have sex naturally with the same sex, then what makes you think that you're going to change the natural order and try to define sexuality in your terms? I don't think so. I don't care if they tell you that the law says that it's civil union. There's no such thing as a civil union. And the other thing is, you cannot dare try to equate your sexuality and your sexual preference with my state of being a black man or another man's state of being a white man. You are not a minority. You are living by a sexual preference, and you have human rights. So don't feed me that foolishness like you're being violating human rights because of the fact that you're gay. I'm sure you've been oppressed. I'm sure you've been talked about. I'm sure people have treated you like a dog, and I don't neglect that that's improper. But I don't want you to ever confuse that the injustices that were placed on me because of the pigmentation of my skin equal to your sexual preference. That was a choice that you chose. I did not choose to be black, nor would that man choose to be white. But you definitely chose to be gay. So if you hear this message, if you take it as hatred, you can take it like you want it. But I don't hate you. But I'm letting you know I'm not playing with you. I'm not playing with the spirit, and I'm not compromising. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And so straight talk for men has to be given straight. I'm not going to go around the circle and beat around the bush like everything's okay, because it ain't okay to be gay in my eyes, because it goes against the way God created men and women to be. And if this would be the standard of the homes, and if the home would get right, the church would get right. And if the church would get right, the world would get right. We have distorted this role, and it has caused confusion, and people are living out of their senses versus their spirit. And that's the greatest attack, to get you to live as a mere man. Are you not yet carnal, the scripture says? But those that hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I hope I prick the heart of every homosexual that would dare try to listen to this. Bring your best shot. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm determined that neither death nor life, nor principalities, things present or to come, shall separate me from this love that I have in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to grow and to live my life under a counterfeit love. I'm not going to live my life under a lie. I'm not going to exemplify my state as a man and then act like a woman. I wouldn't dare recommend a woman to act like a man, because a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And if that is confused, just the state, then everything else that we talk about is going to be misunderstood. Because you got some women and men out there that believe that they could be the opposite gender, and I don't think so. Just because you put plastic surgery on there and use plastic to create bodies, cut things off, put things on, doesn't negate who you really are. And don't give me that hermaphrodite argument either, where, oh, someone's born with two organs, but there's one primary organ that's functional. They can cut the other one off just like they can add the other one on. So don't give me that. Find out which one is the primary one and live by the one that God has ordained you to be. And I'm tired of the church making excuses and being silent about this issue. Our silence has produced the insane tolerance of this mess that has grown to the point that it's almost acceptable. Should your little boys be playing with dolls? I don't think so. Unless they want to do hair. I don't have no problem with men doing hair. But you breeded that insanity. And so there needs to be correction. And so God has strengthened me and anointed my voice. I ask for bold utterance that I might speak boldly as I ought to spoke. And I don't think I've ever spoke this bold on the radio broadcast, but welcome to the new broadcast, because it's time for some people to get straight. And Lord knows I can't teach you how to be a straight man if I'm not a straight man. I can't teach you how to be a straight believer if I'm not a straight believer. And it's time out for playing games. It's time to be the church all the way, or don't be it at all. And there's five things that will keep you straight. And the first thing that you need to know, there's really six things. The first thing is Jesus. Jesus is the thing that keeps you straight. And we need to stop working against Jesus and be men of integrity. Be men after God's own heart. Hallelujah. I'm passionate about this particular subject because my love for God's people is described in God's word, and I can't go out of the boundaries of his word. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for people. Well, one, Sodom and Gomorrah, it was greater than that. They had really tried to rape spiritual beings. They were doing all kinds of things with men. And the man of God tried to give them the daughters, but they went for after the men. They were trying to capture men, and then they start trying to capture God's angel. So it was more than homosexuality than that. They were just really just in a bad state. More than that. And we can't, and I want you to understand this. having standards, and I'm going to go into my lesson because you know I haven't even touched my lesson yet. Having standards exists in the realm I just sense the anointing all over this teaching. Having standards exists in a state of righteousness. Things are pure. When something, you know, I'm seeing people shy off of a definite stance. And the reason why people can't respect you is because they don't know where you're at. That's why you got a bunch of absentee fathers and absentee mothers, because just because a person is present don't mean that they're there mentally. Because what I'm finding now, hey, yeah, the father left, but some of these mothers just as crazy as the man. Because they don't know. Well, one, see, I can talk about dysfunctional family that exists because I'm a product of a father not being in the home. But it wasn't an excuse. Now I have a relationship with my natural father. I have a stepfather who's a great man. And I had a great mother. But my great mother understood one thing. That's one thing I'll say, that maybe she was grown in a different era, I don't know, or maybe it was the Spirit of God. She understood the necessity to grow. If she was given a man to raise, that man would need to be accompanied and nurtured and grown by other godly men. So she just didn't sit men or a male in my life, but she set godly men in my life as an example of how to exist as a godly man. And therefore, I was raised godly. So I see godly principles. And to me, the way the world was growing up is foreign because I wasn't raised that way. And I'm not saying that as a insult, but that's just my reality. I don't get it. And I don't think I'm supposed to. But irregardless of what state the environment was, when you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. And I'm not coming from a hardened heart because I address things strongly. I'm a strong man. It's my cognitive to be strong. And I'm going to charge you just as strong. Just like I tell the ladies in my organization, that in order to restore the respect and the role of a woman, I have to treat you in the same fashion I would treat a man. When I talk to men, I don't hold back because of their feelings. I don't insert compassion because of quote-unquote sensitivity, because those sensitivities were learned just like my aggressiveness was learned. Do you get what I'm saying? So I can't use that anymore. And then this is the other thing. We have problems with sexuality. Lord knows I'm trying to get to my lesson, y'all. But we also have a problem with existing in superior state. There's no male nor female in Christ Jesus. Even in the beginning, the scripture lets us know that God created he them and made them male and female. The distinction was for here on earth to distinguish who you were to connect with here on earth. But God sees us as spirits, and we don't need arrogant men trying to be superior because you're not superior because you are a male. You are always superior because you are a man. Not superior to a woman, but you're superior as a man or mankind. And that's where superiority comes from. Everybody should have a superiority complex. Women should be superior because they are a woman, but part of them being a woman is a man. They are a man with a womb. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, I'm giving y'all straight talk so that way you don't expect a woman to follow you and do what you say because you think you the man. You get what I'm saying? And she got to obey you. Because some of you, even those of you who are in ministry, think because you are a male that you have the right to rule over a woman and somebody else, who's from somebody else. Now, you don't have that right. You don't even have the right to rule over women in your own house unless you are a man, which is a man, which is a spirit, human. It's a spirit. Do you hear what I say? And only spirits can be superior over flesh. And the only way God would give you the right to rule over another person's flesh is if your mind is fit, that your authority is based on yourself and not based on yourself. So you need to get out of these false complexes. Your authority doesn't exist. Now, the scripture lets us know in the house, God had the man, there's God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. Well, that's in the house. That ain't in the church, and the church is not a home. That's not an everyday affair. You don't have no right over a woman because you think you're walking around as God's authority. No, you don't have that right. If some woman that walks down the street, you don't have no rule, no influence, no authority, anything over her. And even if she was in your home, you don't have that type of authority. That's not the authority that he's talking about. He's saying for the sake of existence as a home, there needs to be a male, a female, and the role of the male needs to exemplify the nature of Christ that protects the woman. Does she need protection? Not necessarily. It says honor her as the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean that she is the weaker vessel. It says honor her as the weaker vessel. Protect her. Make sure no harm comes upon her. But that don't mean she's weak, that she don't have a mind, that she don't have an intellect, that she can't confuse, that she can't lead over things, that she can't head things. That's a false perspective, and that has to be restored. So you need to know where your authority exists from, and it exists from your source and not yourself. And when you learn that, you'll be a greater man because you'll know how to rule over the things that God has given you versus people who God has added to you to assist you in what you're doing. He didn't make woman to be, I was going to say something strong, but we're on the radio, so. He made a woman to help you if he ordained her for your life, and that's only the one who God has ordained and fashioned for your life. Some of you get in relationships with, Lord have mercy, let me get to my lesson, Father. But you get in relationships with a female, one you don't even know that God told you to be with. Y'all start dating and you talk about you the man. You ain't no man, you're a punk. You're just a coward, a counterfeit, working against God's plan. God said don't even eat with another woman who's not your wife. That's what the scripture says. You can read Ecclesiastes to find that out. We done got it wrong, and we got to get it right. So there needs to be some straight talk from them. And in order to do that, there needs to be some things that keeps a man straight. And one, I'm going to try to get to this lesson, but I can impress on you that supremacy thing and that sexuality thing got to get corrected. Because all of it is what is really distracting you from is understanding who you are spiritually to exist in the state that God has called you to be in. And so you've allowed the flesh to be, well, really it's not the flesh, it's the mindset. Because the flesh can only obey what the soul conveys. Do you get what I'm saying? So you've allowed these tainted thinking, these perversions to distort the quality of your life. And it's bred you for hell. Even supremacy, male supremacy, that's a tactic of the devil. same tactic that he used for himself. He tried to take the role. He wanted to ascend to a place that he wasn't ordained for, to operate outside of his function, to be like God, to be as God. Well, wanted to be like God because he was a spirit, but he was a ministering spirit. He was an angel. He wanted to ascend to a God. He said some things to himself. Same thing with men. When you try to exert supremacy over a woman, you're trying to be a woman. You know what I mean? Let's just make it plain. The reason why you're trying to control that woman is because you want her to do what she wants you to do, or you want her to do what you want her to do. You want her to be your robot, and it don't work like that. It don't work like that. That's not how God ordained it to happen. And we don't even see pictures of women like that in the Bible. We're not even to ascribe after weak women. We're not even to ascribe after weak women, the scripture says. And if you saw how God made women in Proverbs 31, you wouldn't want a weak woman who's just going to obey everything you say. Absolutely not. We have distortions about roles, and they need to be restored. One of the things is men try to exercise supremacy over women, and that's not what God ordained, because it wasn't the case in the beginning. It wasn't the case. They existed in one body, but for the sake of really accomplishing something on the earth, he had to put man to sleep and form a woman so that man could really be identified as mankind. Because it wasn't good in the state for them to exist in one body. I know that's a little above your thinking. You might think about what I'm saying. You can read the beginning and figure it out. And God gave them dominion. So authority exists in us all. Doesn't exist in gender specific. It exists in us all. You're supreme not because, or you're superior not because of self, but because of source. And I want you to remember that. Well, let's get into this lesson because I done used 37 minutes and I only got about 20 minutes left. Oh, I pray you receive what the Spirit said to the church. I done prayed about this thing and I have an outline. And my goal, and like I said, I don't want you to ever think because I'm speaking straight to men that my opinion, because I'm one of the strongest female supporters as a man that I've seen in this particular era of clergy. I don't see really a lot of men ministers supporting women like I believe they should be. And it goes across the board with me. We got men who now say, okay, well, we're going to make her a prophetess or an evangelist because she's a woman, but she can't be a pastor, or she can't be or acknowledged as a pastor. That's wrong if she's called a pastor. And then if she ain't married to a prophet, she can't be a prophetess. The women who were called prophetess in the Bible were married to a prophet. It didn't necessarily mean they had the gift of prophecy or they stood in the office of a prophet. We've gotten this wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? You're either a prophet of God or you're not. That's not gender specific. The fivefold gifts in the body are not gender specific. The only one that you can really argue about is the office of the bishop and the deacon, but those are not the fivefold gifts of the ministry. I'm just throwing out the scriptures for you so that way You strong men who try to beat women up over the head, because matter of fact, Aquila and Priscilla were apostles according to the scripture. But Aquila, which was the woman, was the one who ran the church. So you see a woman in the highest authority of the church over her husband. Anyway, just think about it. Come on, and just learn history. Learn scripture. You have female judges like Deborah. And a judge was the primitive state of a prophet. Wake up, y'all. We need to wake up. This thing about women not being able to, exist as an authority is trifling. It's stupid. It's ignorant. And people are not destroyed because of a lack of spirit. They're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit said to the church. Because, see, when a man decides to be a man, it's not going to be based on supremacy over a woman. It's not going to be over anger, over trying to get success. It's going to be because they resolve to live out the state of a man. Well, I got five things to keep you straight. And the first thing is to exemplify godly standards. We need to apply the word of God as a necessity of life. You can refer to John 4:4, which says, look, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. So we have to exemplify godly standards by applying the word of God as a necessity of life, because we live by the word. And then John 8:31, of course you know that deals with, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So our freedom to exemplify the word of God is established as a necessity of life, is predicated on us continuing in the word of God. Then let it be, under exemplifying godly standards, is the only authority that you should seek to exist in is in the authority by which the Lord Jesus received from the Father. And of course, you know, he said, all power is given unto me. I send you, go into ye all the world and make disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18. And then I like this scripture, and I want to go to this scripture in particularly, because I'm talking about the only authority that we should exist in as a man is the authority of Jesus. And let's just read this. And this is what I meant by establishing authority, so that when you know that you are the head of a house, if you're called to be a head of a house, then you know what authority you exist in. It's the authority of Jesus. It's not self, not for self, but based on source. It says, for look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What does this mean? The word of God, when the word of God is applied, a word of God is applied as a necessity of life. The only authority you should seek to exist in is the authority by which the Lord Jesus received from his Father. And that authority will make you not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it will give you what? Power or authority. It will give you the authority of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. First to the Jews and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed. In other words, you can exemplify godly standards. Amen. And then thirdly, you need to observe to do all that is written therein. Of course, you know James 1:22 says, be ye therefore doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves. And then Joshua 1:8 is another scripture that is so, I keep saying Joshua 1:8, but it's Joshua 1:7-8. And be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses the servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is according that is written therein. So that's a part of exemplifying godly standards, observing to do all that is written therein. The other thing that we need to understand, number two, we talked about, number one was exemplifying godly standards. Number two is establishing a greater emphasis of being Christ-like. See, one of the things that the devil always puts in the heart of a man is to exist by his own state. That's arrogance. That's ego. We are not to ever feed and minister the ego, but we are to establish greater emphasis on being Christ-like. Know who you are in Christ. And I want you to read right quick, and you can refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that we are in Christ, and Christ has made unto us the wisdom of God of of righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that's who we need to understand those processes, righteousness, sanctification, and the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order to know who we are in Christ. Because that's what Christ did, and Christ put us in the very midst of what he did. He was an example. And, of course, you know, in Colossians chapter 1, it tells you, or Colossians chapter 3, rather, it tells you, if you therefore be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where he sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth, for ye are dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. Mortify therefore the members of your body, members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which these things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye walked in sometimes when ye lived according to them. But now put up all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So the way you put off the old man in his deed is to learn or to ascertain the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Amen. So then we have to accept the knowledge of Christ. After we know who we are in Christ, the way we learn who we are in Christ is by accepting the knowledge of Christ. Because we are exemplifying the him through Christ. And, of course, you know, we have to allow Christ's character be in our character. The two scriptures I found were found in Philippians. You know, with accepting the knowledge of Christ, knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, Paul says. And then also, when we allow, when we accept and expect the knowledge of Christ, we can allow Christ's character to be our character. And, of course, you know, I always take you to Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form and the fashion of a man. He therefore exalted, he humbled himself even to death on the cross. Therefore, God so highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. If you allow Christ's character to be in your character, then you will exist in the state of a real man. So then we need to edify, number three, edify the real man. Hallelujah. How do we do that? We have to let ourselves be known by he who is on the throne. Then we have to establish his standards by living in the light of the world and be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That is, it's easily stated, but it's a process in a half. Now, of course, you know the scripture tells you in order to edify the real man, it tells you this same scripture in Colossians chapter 3. It says, verse 10, Colossians 3:10, and ye have put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge after him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put therefore on as elect of God, holy and beloved, bounds of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you do so him. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart to that which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, if you do that, then you will establish and empower the real man. And, of course, you know, the scripture also says in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that ye might know the hope of his calling to us who believe. So another and let it be of edifying the real man, you need to establish his standards by living as the light of the world. Let your light, Matthew 5:16, so shine that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You have to be one with the word. Of course, you know that. And you have to allow the one who is known to be on the throne to edify the real man. And the real man is the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? They are the sons of God. And that's what the world tries to do. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is to be life and peace in Romans 8:1-2. The scripture lets us know these things so that we can exemplify these people and learn how to be men of God. So when I tell you to be a man, I'm telling you about a spiritual state versus a state of carnality. Because in the flesh there lies no good thing in the flesh in itself. But if your body has been set aside unto God, the scripture says, don't you know your body is the temple of the living God? Howbeit the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, honor God with your body. So the way you become a real man is by locating and honoring God with your body. Why? Because you contain the Holy Spirit, who is the real man, the inward man. I pray that you would be strengthened by his might in the inner man. What's the inner man? The Spirit. So we have to edify the real man, which is the Spirit man. Number four, we have to eradicate unexercised senses. We can't let external things distract us. That's including sexuality. That is including sensuality. That is including sociality. Sociality, sensuality, and sexuality. And we must exist always in a state of power. And, of course, you know, the scripture lets us know in Ephesians 3:5, that we have been quickened with Christ or made alive with Christ. And then in Ephesians 1:19-23, that he has given us the exceeding greatness of his power to us. Why? So that we can exist and eradicate unexercised senses. We are to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And of course, you know the scripture says in Hebrews that those who are eating of the meat of God's word, not just the milk, are those who have exercised their senses to distinguish good from evil. And that's what we need to do. If you don't exercise your senses to distinguish good from evil, then those unexercised senses are going to distort your reality. And that's what we see so prevalent in the world today, especially when it pertains to homosexuality. And let us see, we must learn to see through the eyes of faith. Of course, you know, Hebrews 11:3 enlightens us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made by the things that do appear. We need to grasp that verse of Hebrews 11:3, so that way we can exemplify learning how to see through the eyes of faith, so that way we can speak what we see. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are temporal. That's why we can speak to those things that are not as though they were. Why? Because we look at the things that are not seen visibly, because we see through the eyes of faith. So when we eradicate senses, we exercise our senses to discern both good and evil by the word of God. And we've learned how to see through the eyes of faith based on the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? So God will ordain people in your life to point you to the word so that way you can develop the faith to see what God wants you to see so you can say what God wants you to say and then you can have what God has prompted you to say that you need to have. Glory to God. Then number five, my final point for tonight is to extend true concern for other men. That's part of my reason for coming on the air today. That's part of my reason for sharing this on both broadcasts so that you can understand where we stand, that we're standing for men of God to be raised up and women of God to be raised up. I heard a church say that the emphasis of their church is geared toward establishing men in the church. I understand y'all want to see males in the seat, but that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to fulfill the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we try to make the church cater to men and or make the church cater to women, we have error with being in the church, because in the church there is no male nor female in Christ, according to Galatians chapter 5. So we need to understand that. And, of course, anytime we try to make gender-specific roles in the church, we are participating in witchcraft. And you can read that in Galatians chapter 1. Who has bewitched ye, O Galatians, who has hindered you from obeying the truth? Because the truth does not see you as the flesh that you embody, but it sees you as the spirit of who you really are. I know some people don't agree with that, but that's the truth because it's found in the Word of God. And we need to work with God as ministers ministering to the needs of other men. And the way we do that is we understand what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, which says we are workers together with God. Hallelujah. And when you work together with God, then you'll understand his labor to get other men right, because you have been given and you've been trusted with the ministry of reconciliation. And this will be a manifestation. The extending true concern for other men will be as a result of the manifestation of the word that will restore the role of a man in a man. So we need to understand, of course, you know, in Psalms 107:20, it says he sent his word and he healed them. Why? Because the word of God is the mechanism that provides healing. So whenever you want to see a man whole, the best thing that you can give them is the word of God, because the word of God has been sent to heal men. And then we must learn and resolve to be men of integrity. And Hebrews 4:12 lets us know that we need to walk honestly before all men. And we need to be people of integrity. Don't say we're going to do something that we're not going to do. Am I right about it? I want to leave you with the scripture that we all know, but I want to, and it's geared to mankind, but I think straight talk for men, you need to understand this particular scripture as it pertains to men. Blessed is the man, Psalms 1:1-3, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate on day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bear its fruit in its season. Its leaves does not prosper, and whatsoever it doth, its leaves does not wither, but whatsoever it doth, it shall prosper. Well, I thank you for listening today. I know I gave a lot of stuff. I would encourage you to listen to this broadcast, transmit it, spread it, put it on a blog. Let everybody know LaVon was talking about men, straight talk for men tonight. And I come under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to encourage men of God to be men of God and to apply to being men of God solely by God's word, and exemplifying and releasing your reality to your real reality, which is the Spirit. The greatest way to be a man is to be led exclusively by the Holy Spirit, not to just ascribe to genders and personalities that have been attributed to common men, but to exemplify the Spirit of God that makes you the man you really are. God bless you and thank you for listening tonight. I pray that even the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in his sight, Father. I thank you for the privilege of letting me speak to your precious men. And I believe that you will have a prosperous week and that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is LaVon Breland signing off of USWAT Radio, Spirit Straight Talk. Thank you to my capable president, Selena Olivia, for giving me the privilege to speak to the men. And I would again like to send my congratulations to every father who is being honored on this day. And I would encourage all fathers to model their Heavenly Father, because that's the only way they can exemplify being a true godly father. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. God bless you, my love.